The views and opinions expressed in the Humanizing the Headset podcast are those of the authors, guests, and hosts of the podcast, and do not necessarily reflect the opinion or position of Humanizing the Headset as a whole. This podcast may contain adult language and adult content. First responders, just a quick note before we get started. This episode ended up being over an hour and 40 minutes long, so we made the decision to split it into two and give you guys a bonus episode this month. The second half of What You Should Know Before You Apply will be posted on February 18th. Enjoy.
Welcome back.
Welcome back, everybody.
Hello. What episode are we on? Hey, welcome back, Brendan.
Yeah, Brendan.
Hey, thanks.
We missed you here.
Brendan was MIA for a week. It's cool.
My mom had, she has a new kidney. So I was taking care of her.
Congratulations.
While she recovered.
On the new kidney.
She actually had it put in her. She didn't just
she
like
did.
Buy
She didn't just
kidney.
Like bring it home in a bag like a fish at a
right.
county
like
fair.
It's, like it's an ornament or something.
Right. Right.
Tchotchke. Yeah. Tchotchke kidney.
We're absolutely terrible people. But how is your mom doing?
She's good. That's she's fantastic. Good. I'm really impressed with her recovery time.
That's awesome.
Like she's getting around really well and I thought she'd be like a vegetable for like two yeah. weeks and I'd be waiting on her hand and foot. But
right.
she... And she's very pro, what's the word?
Proactive?
Yes. In her...
Recovery?
No, her...
I thought I was going to be able to finish this sentence, too.
I can't remember the term.
Physical therapy.
Oh,
there we go.
Okay.
There you go.
So she's up and, you know, doing her exercises and stuff like that so that she's not just stuck, you know,
awesome.
On
That's
the couch.
Awesome.
So, yeah.
Awesome.
Well, we're glad you're back.
Yes.
We're at Kaylee's house again.
Yep.
Yay.
Yeah.
We are.
And every time we come, your husband leaves. He's like,
he
oh,
does.
I'm out, guys.
He's. I think I he just like doesn't want to interrupt, and he is a very loud person, just his personality, even when he's not talking.
Yeah.
It's like having Sasquatch in the house.
Ah.
So,
okay.
and the last time
that explains
you came,
the holes in the wall.
The last time you came over, I was trying to explain to him, like, you can be here, that's fine, this is your house, but... understand that you can't be like slamming doors
yeah.
and making a cup of coffee or starting the dishwasher or
breathe
like
too
playing
loudly.
Video
right.
games.
No eating or drinking.
We know what the coffee sounds like
right.
from our,
yes.
our promo.
Well, right. And I was explaining like, you know, Brennan's dishwasher was running once and it sounded like a gurgling weird noise. And then he ran his Keurig once and it sounded like he was peeing in the middle of it. So I think
but
just
we
to,
kept it and used it.
Right. Because it was
right.
funny. So I think just to avoid... making a bunch of noise and being disruptive, he just leaves the house because he's like, this is just easier.
Gotcha.
So,
gotcha. Whatever.
But the dog is here. The dog will probably disrupt us.
I'm okay with that.
He's, yeah. he's chill right now, but he was a maniac for 47 seconds when we walked in the door.
Mm-hmm.
Now
yeah.
he's cool.
Running
he
in circles.
Zoomies.
It was great.
If your dog does zoomies, it's, you know what I mean?
We're, okay.
It's a little crazy.
So, yes. I don't want to get too far off. This is episode 8.
We are not going to talk yes. about zoomies on this episode.
No?
But...
no. Okay.
No, but I mean,
was curious
if you want
about...
to ask a question about it.
Yes. Well, I want to. I just want to make a observation how a lot of terms have now made it into pop culture when it comes to animals. You
yeah.
know? Like the term zoomies or what's the other one? The boop.
Oh,
oh,
yeah.
Okay, let me get boops. Okay, I'm going to smack you. All right. This should not be a thing. Why is everybody posting about boops? Like boops, yes.
I like
boops, not as much.
I like zoomies, though. I think zoomies is a good
it,
one.
It is, but I just find it very
it's
interesting
funny.
How some of these terms made it into full-on pet
like, yeah, it's
pop
like an
culture.
Understood
right.
thing.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Like,
through everybody. It's
I
universal.
I learned it like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Scrolling through Facebook. I'm like, oh, there's a term for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Indeed.
And I've always asked people, like, do you... because I'm talking about the dog and I'm like, do you know what zoomies are? And they're like, yes, my dog does that. And I'm like, okay, so we're all on the same page.
And see, I would be like, yeah, it's that store where you get like the skater stuff,
right?
Right.
My dog
oh,
is
a store too.
Yeah,
it
Zoom
is.
Wow.
It's like a skater store. Yeah.
Didn't know
or
that.
Surf store. It's a bruh, mm-hmm. a bruh store.
Bruh.
Chupacabra store.
My dog is he's an 80-pound pit rot mix. So when he does zoomies, it's a little, it can get destructive at times.
Yeah, it's great.
Because he runs up and down the stairs as fast as he possibly can, and then he dies. Like,
well, right. That's how I feel about exercise as well.
Yes.
Okay.
Run up and down the stairs as fast as you can, and then die.
I'm tired. I use the bathroom. I need a nap.
I walk to the kitchen, and I'm spent.
Yes, that's right. Exactly.
I need to eat all this food to get my energy back up to go into the living room. Mm-hmm. And then you're hungry again. Weird. So, episode 8.
Yes.
Our topic of the day is
what we wish we knew before we started this job. Because there's a lot.
Yeah.
And I think this is a good episode if you know someone who's interested in getting into this industry, or you yourself are a person that's interested in getting into this industry. This is a good episode for you to listen to pass on, because we're going to share some secrets with you about what you should probably know before you get into this.
Run.
Secrets.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Quickly.
We joke about that. But
it's the end of the episode. Get out.
Certainly. I think some people, when they look at our career, they look at, oh, you guys get paid well. And it depends on where you're at. Of course, we've talked about that before. In our area, yeah, we do get paid well.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that way everywhere. So, but maybe there where they're looking, that is very good pay. So hard for me to
say.
Depends
where you are, of course.
Yeah, no judgment, but yes, where we work, we get paid very well for what we do.
Well, and for an entry-level position that does not require previous training for the most part.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
And even if you have a degree, like our newest trainee, she has a degree.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, this is a great first job fresh out of college, right?
Right, exactly.
Because most places are like $16-17 an hour, depending on what you're doing, you know?
Right. I think one of the things that I'll caution people, and I don't know if this is I wish I had known, because for me, I'm a good amount of years older. I don't want to say a lot older than the two of you, but I'm older.
Significantly older.
Dropped your cane over
I'm
there.
Just kidding.
I know. What?
Did you want some more Metamucil?
I do. I need to.
Get
to get things moving through.
Not that much
and my Geritol, if anybody knows what that is. But
no, Grandpa, we don't know what
Geritol is. I know. uphill both ways in the snow. Just tell some stories. But I think what happens to people, you don't realize it. You think you're going to come in, especially so in your trainee's case, Brendan. She's got a degree. She went to school for something specific. And this applies to anybody. They get into this job. You make good money. Here you advance your pay pretty quickly because they have a cap, and they get you to that cap within, for us, it was 8 years. Which you think that's not a lot, but when you're talking about, you know, a $15 jump in 8 years, that's a big deal.
It's huge, yeah.
Absolutely.
So if you have dreams and goals, and this kind of goes along with the last podcast, you can't let those go, because if you do, you're just going to get caught up in, I'm working overtime, I'm making good money, this job is great, it's cushy, I'm inside. Yeah, it's stressful at times, but you're going to find a number of years have gone by and you didn't go do the things that you really wanted to do because, you're doing this.
Right,
now,
you were focused on this. You're
working. You get caught into it because the money is good.
It is.
So I think they have to know that, or I would encourage them to think about that before they get into it, to keep that focus. You know, if you went to school and you wanted to be a crime scene technician, you know, or a blood spatter
artist.
Yes,
not
exactly.
Wait,
not
that would be the murderer.
Yeah, that's right.
Blood spatter.
I don't think that's the right
what
term.
Is that called? Like a blood spatter
specialist? Sure, let's go with
blood
that.
Blood spatter artist.
I'm a blood dexter. I'm a blood spatter artist.
That's my next job in my next lifetime. Right. Blood spatter artist.
Right.
That's awful.
So
sorry.
It's terrible. But right, that's the idea. So if you had a specific career and that's like your passion,
right?
You still need to keep your eye on the prize when it comes to that. Because
yes.
10 years is going to go by and you're going to go, oh man, I never really did anything with that, but I'm doing pretty damn well because I'm getting paid. There's nothing wrong with it, but.
Well, and I, it kind of goes hand in hand with this is not really just a job.
Right.
It's not. I know not everybody feels that way, but I think most people who work, I think in any industry that you're passionate about, it's not just a job. It's never going to be just a job for you. But especially public safety, it's not just a job. It becomes sort of a lifestyle. Yeah. And I don't mean that in a negative way. It can be a positive thing.
Right.
But you dedicate yourself to this, and you, it doesn't like consume you, but it's, you can't just clock out at the end of the day and go home and forget about it. It's
right.
not just, you know, right. Well, I'm done with my Excel spreadsheets for the day. I'm going to go home.
Right.
It's a little bit different than that. So yeah, it's definitely not just a job. I know a lot of people use it as a kind of stepping stone, which kind of have a love-hate relationship with that.
Yeah,
right.
It's tough.
Well, tell me why you have a love-hate relationship with it.
Because on the one hand, I do think that it's good experience for someone who is wanting to get into a different aspect of public safety to experience other aspects of it. Mm-hmm. And I'm saying that, again, everyone knows this, but as someone who has worked on both sides of the radio, it was good for me to have both of those experiences.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, this isn't just a job that you're going to have for a couple of months while you're waiting to get a call from a department.
Right.
And some people use it that way.
Yeah.
And that's fine. We've had dispatchers who were extremely successful that were only with us for a year or two before they got called by a department. But the people that do that the right way are very dedicated to the dispatch aspect of it. They learn about it. They make sure that they understand it. They do it well, and then they move on.
Yeah.
And they take that experience and keep it with them as
sure.
When they move on to a different part of public safety. So, but it's not just like I'm waiting to hear back from this fire department, so I guess I'll dispatch for a couple of months.
Right.
That's training's going to be longer than that.
Right.
Yeah,
so
right. Well, and I think it's a little bit of a, we can appreciate those people that dedicate their time and they do it for a few years as a means to do something else.
Yes.
Okay. Because like you said, they dedicate their time. It's almost a slap in the face to everybody else that has done that or is currently doing that. And you come in and you think you're going to be a dispatcher.
You're going to master it
in
a week.
And if you can't tell, we're all like moving our head in an attitude.
Right.
Way.
We're doing
like,
the snake neck thing.
Yeah, that's
yeah.
Right. How dare you? But it is almost insulting. Because first off, that means you think it's easy.
Right.
Right.
It isn't easy. So if you want to know something, it's funny. So I've shared this story many times. I don't think I've shared it on this podcast, but I'll tell it again because I'm old and that's what people do. So when my first night, we trained on midnights. And midnights, there's not a lot that happens on midnights, but when something's happening on midnights, something is happening.
One, yeah.
So a lot of people tend to think, you know, oh, we're going to be busy. No, you're probably going to be bored for about 7 hours out of your night or 6 hours out of your night, but 3 hours of it is going to be
what is it
crazy.
Like they say, like it's long periods of boredom interrupted by small periods
of
pure terror.
Yeah.
Like
yeah, right. Right.
It's about right.
So it's something like that.
It's really funny. So
yeah.
My first night, nothing happened. And the supervisor that was assigned to the shift, she wasn't there the first night. You know, and I was assigned to the trainer. And the second night, the supervisor, you know, we were walking over to roll call and she was talking to me and she said, How did it go? You know, what'd you think? I go, well, I almost expected it to be busier. And she goes, you did not just say that. I went, what? I don't understand. And so then she told everybody else that I said that. So like I jinxed them. Well, sure enough, we had a pursuit that night that
mm-hmm.
went all through one county, over the border into the other county, back into our county. Like it lasted for a while. This is my second night. And I'm like, and what was funny is there were five other people in the room. And everybody was yelling different stuff. One person was manning the radio. Other people are answering the phones. Somebody's yelling this. This person goes, yes, I got it. I did this. Okay. and these are all different voices, mind you. And I'm sitting there and I sat back and I went, holy shit.
Because it sounds like a different language. You're like, I don't even know if they're speaking English. Right. At this
I
point.
Was like,
what is happening?
They're just yelling like 28, 19. Like, right. Yeah. Mike, I don't know. That's right. Okay.
Bingo. Exactly. Yeah. Touchdown. Goal, Brazil. I was blown away that night.
Yes.
I was so blown away by that because it was very overwhelming. I wasn't even part of it because I couldn't do shit at the time.
Right, you're
sit
just
there.
Sitting there, yeah.
And I was like...
Eyes wide.
I was right. mesmerized and amazed, and it was an awesome experience, but very eye-opening as to how yes. crazy and hectic it could be. And I didn't doubt it before that. I just never had experienced it. But right. I got to experience it on my second night after I jinxed everybody.
And then they all hated you.
That's right. That's right.
God damn it, Norm.
Every
He's
night,
been bringing
I'm,
the thunder.
I'm like Patrick Swayze. I'm like Patrick Swayze in Roadhouse. I come out with a stop sign through my window every night. And my tires are flat, so they're still haunting me.
See, and when I applied and came in for my interview, I remember walking in to the 911 center, which I had never been inside a 911 center in my life. When I walked in, I remember thinking, like, do they answer 911 calls here? Because there's nothing happening. Like, it was keyword the entire time that I was there for my interview, which I thought was really weird. And I'm like, maybe they don't answer 911 calls here. And I must have misunderstood the post. I don't know. And then, you know, I got the job and then later realized that it was because of the time of day and the day that I was there. They probably only got a couple of 911 calls yeah. while I was there. And for some reason, I had been under the impression, because again, coming from LA, I had been under the impression that those phones were going to be blowing up constantly.
Sure.
But I forget that I work for a smaller agency now, so they don't get 10,000 911 calls a day. But yeah, I just remember walking in there and being like, there's nothing happening in here. And then I start training and I'm like, well, fuck, I was wrong. Like,
right. Yeah.
It's just well, that there was nothing happening at that time at that
even
day.
Now right. we have, so, you know, you guys have the same phone system. So when we got the newer phones, you can pre-record your greetings for both right. emergency and non-emergency. So a lot of times you don't even know somebody answered the phone unless right. you look at the phone or you can hear the person.
Right.
So if you were to come in and see it, you'd hear the phone ring, but then you'd never hear somebody say it.
Exactly.
The majority of us have a pre-recorded greeting, and the phone is fancy. It knows when you've answered 911 or whatever, and it plays the appropriate one. But
we have strange technology. I'm sorry. It's a really weird.
It is random.
Yeah,
I don't use it. I'm just
I don't either, because it was affecting our volume. So
I remember that.
Yeah. You couldn't hear us with the pre-recording on, so we turned ours off.
That's
weird. Some of them still haven't. Yeah, I don't know how it works, and that's what I mean. Like, not only is the technology weird, but the issues we have with it are just as weird. So
right, we're having a radio issue currently as well.
That happens every night at 8 p.m.
O'clock.
What? Yeah. Do you have like a every gremlin in your radio or something?
Night at 8 p.m.
An 8 p.m. gremlin?
So this is things that you don't realize too, people. We have a lot of technology, and
you are going to learn more about IT than you ever wanted to know in
right.
your entire effing life.
Yep.
And I laugh about this because I understand how radio repeaters work. And when I'm trying to describe the problem to someone, I listen to myself and I'm like, I don't know what I'm talking about. But I do somehow. Like, this
right.
is so weird. We had an issue with our cat a couple of weeks ago where there was a problem with our unit dependency. That's not even a fucking phrase. I just made that up.
It sounds good.
No, but
is that
it
like
is.
Children?
So it is a phrase, but like outside of our industry, that doesn't mean anything. Like unit dependency, what is that? And I'm like, yeah. So like if our ambulance is unavailable, it makes our engine unavailable as well because there's only one crew to man. And I'm explaining this to our CAD person, and she's like, what? And I'm like, I don't know if I don't know if that made
this
sense,
relationship's not going to work.
Right. Exactly. Right.
That's when you get
she
really
was like,
condescending.
She was so sweet. She's like, I'm taking really good notes and I'm going to pass this on to the person that is going to know what the hell you're talking about.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just listen to myself talking about some of the IT issues that I'm having. And I'm like, why do I know this? This is so odd. It's very strange.
So
problems.
Were you, how were you listening to yourself? Like, did you have to go listen to a tape or do you just sit around listening to your own recordings?
No, I was just listening to myself talk at the time.
Oh, okay.
Like
Got
listening
it.
To the
you
words that were coming out
it,
of my mouth.
Like,
and I'm like, this sounds crazy.
Who is this person?
Right.
Who is that? I just want to make sure.
So I'm sorry. What is your radio issue that you're having?
I don't know, we cut out. So like our transmissions cut out at 8 o'clock. It lasts for a couple minutes. So when I'm trying to dispatch somebody, and it does not matter what position you're sitting at, through most of the county for most of our deputies, it cuts in and out when we're talking. Like, and they said time? It sounds like a robotic voice sometimes too.
Do you think it has to do with a satellite?
I thought it was something with the radio towers. So
it's solar flares.
That's what I'm saying. Like, that sounds weird. Someone's interrupting our transmission.
We've had people tell us that several years ago. That was a big thing when we were having
that a problem. That it was a solar flare?
That it's solar flares was causing the problem we were having. Yeah.
Is that real?
Well, solar flares are real, but
no, I know
they come from the
excuse
sun.
Was yes.
So the sun solar is this huge is the ancient orb in the sky.
Greek word for sun. You guys, I don't know if it's Greek or not.
This is what my husband does when I ask him a question. He mansplains the wrong thing to me.
Perfect.
I'm liking him more and more.
Right.
Anyway,
yes.
you're gonna become an IT expert.
For sure.
And you don't need to be inclined that way already. You'll learn. Don't worry.
You will.
Yeah, you will.
You will.
Because I was not inclined that way really at all. But we learned very quickly. And it's because you'll have equipment break or do weird things like stop working at a specific time every night.
Yes.
And you have to figure out why that's happening.
Quickly.
Yes. Because
it's life or death.
Because literally the safety of your entire county depends on it. Correct. You're like, shit, yep. Okay.
Right.
Well, the radios have to work.
Right. What switches do I have to flip? What's it doing? Who do I have to call? And if it's a total meltdown, where do I take this weird random phone plug in thing with this big box and where do I go plug it in at?
Yeah. Right.
You know, we had that. We actually had that. So we had a Go box, which had like a little, it was an old analog phone that you would go plug in at this box outside of another police department so you could answer them. You'd be like, car 54, where are you?
So we don't,
right.
We had that system.
Mm-hmm.
And we got rid of it because it became obsolete.
Antiquated, yeah.
But I always laugh when we would, because we had to go test it occasionally, like periodically throughout the year. And I'm like, okay, so think about this. When are our phones going to go down? When there's a weather incident.
Yeah.
Right? How am I going to stand outside this building on a freaking handset and talk to people on the phone? Like, that's not going to work.
Yeah, you just get
in
one
a
of
tornado.
Those,
like, hold on, ma'am. Like,
electric. Yeah, that's right.
One second.
We're leaving Kansas.
I'm in the middle of a microburst. Give me 1 second, please.
There's a cow flying by.
That's
like, that's not going to work.
No. Yeah, it's totally messed up.
Like, if the phones were to go down on a beautiful sunny day where the temperature was moderate and we were not having any weather, yeah, that would be a perfect system. But the phones don't go down when nothing's happening.
No.
They go down because there's a bigger issue.
Not at all.
Oh,
agreed.
My God. Anyway.
Yeah, it's silly.
So stupid.
What do you got, Brendan? Drop some knowledge on us.
What do I wish I knew?
Yeah, Brendan's currently training someone.
I didn't know shit. I wish I knew everything. It's funny because I was talking to my trainee yesterday and telling her how she's not going to be comfortable with the job for probably a few years.
Yep.
And she's like, oh, I wish I could just fast forward like 15 years. And I'm like, oh, so when you're just a miserable, salty dispatcher.
There's something.
It's like going to take 15 years. It'll take like 5 years. I'm going to tell you right now. Oh, my God. She's like wants to retire already.
Right. But yeah, like I didn't. I remember my interview. They're like, so what do you know about 911? I'm like, well, aside from what I've seen on Rescue 911,
right?
Absolutely nothing.
I need
your
phone number, and that's it.
Right. I know how to call.
Yeah. Does that count?
But I remember walking in, and it was like mission control with all the monitors, all the 36,000.
You're like on
I'm
the
like,
space
are we
station
launching rockets
yes.
here? What the fuck?
Absolutely.
It was very intimidating.
Yeah, it is.
And just the amount of stuff that you have to know. And not necessarily know, but know how to find. And it's just mind-numbing.
And you can't have... So what always baffles me at our work is we have 6 rather large monitors plus 2 additional monitors. One is for our phones. One is for our radio. So the main 6 are for our CAD, maps, in-house program, email... internet, because we need to have that. And I don't have enough room on these 6 monitors. I have to make windows small and shrink them down it because I need so many things open.
Yeah.
And then I look over at my partner and they're not even using three of the monitors. I'm like, what are you not doing that I'm doing?
I don't understand what's happening. It causes me such anxiety. They're
like dispatching from a tablet and you're like, I don't understand right. how you're doing
what's
this.
Happening here?
That's right.
Just using my Kindle. What's wrong with you?
Clicks and I'm like, what do you, I don't know how you do this. Yeah. Like, why do I have so much shit open? But I feel like I have to have it
that's
open.
That's our Morse code desk.
But like, so, and we've gone. What did we have when I started? We had four. We had three on the bottom, one on the top. Two on top.
Yep.
Okay. So we've now gone up to six in the last several years, and I still feel like I need more space.
Yeah.
Does someone just come in like every year and like screw another monitor onto your...
I don't know when we switched that. We had to switch it when we upgraded, I think.
Yeah, I think we got the new CAD.
Yeah. So
like that is hysterical.
The new CAD, like, right.
Yeah. Because we have two. We have two 19-inch monitors.
Yeah.
And we have some additional monitors throughout the center, but we only look at two. Well, technically four, because we have radios and our radios and our phones are on monitors as well. But we don't typically stare at those all day. We just stare at the two big boys.
Gotcha.
Ooh, yeah. We have all kinds of stuff open. I just...
Yeah, because our CAD has so many different windows, and they all do different things.
I think everyone's CAD has, like, 18 windows.
Yeah.
And then on top, like, you're not just using your CAD.
Right.
And I'm for those who aren't in this industry, I'm sorry, because this is aimed at people who want to get into 911 dispatch. A CAD, we keep referring to, which I think we may have touched on this previously, but CAD is a computer program. It stands for Computer Aided Dispatch. And there's different programs for it, just like there's, you know, different operating systems for computers. Mm-hmm. It's the same kind of deal. But it's what helps us keep track of all of our units and all of our incidents. So everyone has a CAD. Not everyone uses the same CAD. They're different from agency to agency.
Correct.
Some places, multiple agencies share a CAD. Right. So we can all see each other's stuff. And it's funny because...
I missed that.
We know, like, Brendan and Norm and I have talked about this, that we work closely together. We don't work at the same agency. Well, Brendan and Norm do, but I don't. We don't share a CAD, even though my agency is in their county. But we share a CAD with multiple other agencies in the area.
Right. And that's all, no offense to anybody that's listening, but it's all, I don't want to say it's all political, but sometimes it's political, sometimes it's cost.
It is, because everyone can choose what system they want to work with.
And everybody wants to have their own input. One thing I've learned for sure, sitting in lots of these meetings with lots of these people who are in charge of everything from every village and township and stuff, they all want to have their own
say.
They
all have opinions about what functionality they want.
The way it should be. And no offense to them, but a lot of them don't use it the same way we use
it. Right, it's nice to have the end user people involved in that.
Oh, absolutely. You need to.
Right, and I mean, when we had our CAD meetings, we were able to point out a couple of very significant, like, blind spots, essentially, in the CAD.
For sure.
We were like, why doesn't this CAD do this? It should do this. That's weird that it doesn't. And they're like, oh, we didn't even think about that. I'm like, yeah, because we use it every day, so. Yeah.
I know, and it's a feature or something. But
yeah, so
I think one of the things that people don't realize that everybody comes into it for the most part. I think they all have genuine reasons, and you know, it's the like the old, I'm a people person. I want to help people. You know, right?
Yeah.
And that's true. You do help people, but you also learn to not really like them a whole lot.
Yes.
And that's not because. You're not being a jerk. It's just you're getting it all day long from people. And I don't hate people. You know, there are times that I don't like people.
Right.
Even outside of work. But you get everybody's... You're not usually talking to a person on their best day.
Right. You're there because someone has an issue.
Correct.
And it might not necessarily be a life-threatening emergency.
No.
But you're answering the phone because someone is... They have a problem and they need you to help resolve it.
Right.
Whether it's their neighbor's dog won't stop barking or they just found a dead body. Like,
correct.
There,
right.
It's both ends of that.
It's not typically the good phone calls where they call to say, we just appreciate you and we wanted to say it are very few and far between. And it's not that people don't appreciate it. They just don't think to take the time right. or know about
it's
it.
It's not like,
right.
So it's very...
I have an accident with injuries, but by the way, you guys are doing such a great job.
It's very right. thankless.
Exactly.
Outside of our industry.
I know you guys
towed
my car, but I really appreciate you doing that.
Right. That's right.
It's I appreciate not a thing.
My car is safe now. Yes. Thanks to you.
Thank you.
I
appreciate it.
I was absolutely deserving of that.
And I appreciate that it's not costing me more than $350 that they're charging me.
A day.
Yes, right. They're not usually happy about that. And we're not charging that, by the way. I'm not quoting prices here. So, yeah. But people are challenging in general.
Yes.
But so it jades you a little bit. So you have to be very careful not to get caught up in that, because that's where the bitterness comes in
right.
after a short period of time, because you think they don't appreciate you, and it's because they really have no freaking clue.
Mm-hmm.
That's partially our industry's fault for not educating people and being more in the forefront than they have been, you know, in the past. Now we're all trying to do a better job at that.
Right.
Obviously, that's what we do. And people are learning. It's becoming more of a thing, but they don't see it. Where you're not seen, and by default, you're not, I don't want to say you're not appreciated, because there's a lot of people out there that appreciate you, but as a whole,
if you're looking for praise, constant praise yeah. from the people that you're helping, you're not going to get it here.
Wow.
Right.
And it's not anyone's fault. Like, no. I don't want to fault any caller for not giving us that praise.
Correct.
Because almost every single person that I speak to on the phone, and I think this is just a politeness thing,
mm-hmm.
before I hang up, they say thank you.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's genuine, and sometimes it's just a habit.
Yeah. Right.
But, yeah, like, just try to keep that in mind.
Right.
If you're looking for a ton of praise or a ton of thanks or a ton of recognition, this is not the job for you.
Right.
And it's not that we're not deserving of it. It's not that we, you know, are totally fine being like little goblins down in the basement, like not ever being seen, but, we're cool with it. I mm-hmm. think I don't really need a ton of recognition or praise from people to continue to do my job, because months will go by and I'll get one call where someone is actually like, I just wanted to let you know that you helped me on this day with this problem, and I so appreciate everything you did. And that will, like, that gives you the fuel to keep going
right.
for the next 6 months until you get the next call like that.
Right.
Yep.
Right.
But yeah, it's, you're there to help people regardless of what their problem is. And you need to keep that in mind, because it's not easy every day.
Yeah.
No.
Well, I think that's where the reward comes in, right? You know, you did something.
Mm-hmm.
You did something. You may not have saved a person's life that day. They may have died when you're trying to get them help.
Right.
But you got them more help than they probably would have gotten if not. And maybe
right.
it was, you know, you affected somebody's life in a good way.
In a positive
that day.
Way. Yeah.
Whether it's you got people there to assist them, to be there for them, to help them through whatever it is they're dealing with. You know, let's face it, you're not always going to save everybody. It has nothing to do with you. It's just circumstances.
Right.
So you are making a difference. You are making an impact. And also the way you handle things can make a huge difference too.
Yeah. And
so
we have touched on that before.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Keep your humanity about you.
Right. Have conversations with people. Like, you know, we joke, and we talked about it before, why people will call me Pastor Norm, you know. That's because if we have the time, I will talk to people about their crap, and sometimes I don't let them get away with it either. You know,
right.
I'll call them out and tell them, no, you're not being an adult about this. You need to stop and think, which is something you would never think most people wouldn't do in real life, but
I'm
happy to do it.
There are plenty of times where people call and they're already pissed off before they even,
yep.
before you even answer the phone, they're already angry.
Right.
And how you react to that can definitely change the outcome of that call.
Oh, absolutely.
Because when I have someone who calls and they're pissed off before I even answer the mm-hmm. phone, and they start talking and
yep.
they keep talking and they keep talking, if it's not super busy, if there's not something crazy happening and I'm free, I just let them yell for mm-hmm. a couple of minutes and I don't say anything, because sometimes that's what they needed to do.
Right.
Yeah.
And it sounds shitty because we end up being everyone's sounding board. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't want to do that. We don't want to be everyone's punching bag. But that's kind of why we're there sometimes. Yeah. Like, because sometimes just that can de-escalate a situation.
Right.
For sure.
Just literally doing nothing except answering the phone and letting someone scream at you for 2 minutes until they calm down enough for you to help them.
Yeah. And then you can talk to them. And a lot of times they realize, you know what? I'm sorry, I came at you that way. I'm so frustrated about this. Hey, I get it. You know, yeah. I understand why you're frustrated. I'd be pissed off too.
Right.
But let's see what we can do about this and go from there. You know, I'm not making you any promises, but I'll try. And I think they need that.
Well, and like, specifically pertaining to training, when you come in for training, and Brendan kind of touched on this a little bit with his trainee saying that she wished she could fast forward 15 years.
Yeah.
You're going to feel stupid. That's something that I tell all of my trainees and they think I'm joking. If you get into this industry and it's your first week, your first couple of weeks, you're going to feel dumb. And it's not that anyone's making you feel that way. Like, no one's treating you like an idiot.
Yeah.
It's that you walk into this center, you see all of this stuff, all this equipment that we were just talking about. You see that everyone is working with ease and they're not stressed out. They're not freaking out. They're able to fix issues. They're able to answer people's questions and direct calls appropriately. And you sit there and you're like, holy shit, how are you doing all of this? And you feel like an idiot because you're not capable of doing that at that point. So I try to remind people, like, you're going to feel stupid for the first couple of weeks that you're there. And then little by little, stuff is going to start clicking with you. And by the end of your training period, you're going to have a lot of the knowledge that your trainer has. And they'll have passed it on to you. And you'll realize that, like, you still feel kind of stupid, but you feel a little bit more confident about how you're dealing with things. And Brendan's absolutely right when I say that you're not going to be comfortable for probably at least a year or two.
Yeah.
It takes a while.
Yeah. And it depends on the agency, right? If you're a smaller agency and you're not doing quite as, you don't have the same depth, you don't have the same amount of people, or the same number of departments or whatever, probably it may not be as complicated. That doesn't make it any less important,
right?
But it's just a different function because of the size of the department or the community,
right?
You know, so it changes a little bit, but you know, the whole idea and purpose behind it is all the same. I was, while you were saying that though, I was thinking I 100% agree. And the other thing people have to realize when coming into this is just be humble. Don't, if you come in and you have a cockiness or whatever about you, your shit is going to get exposed.
Yes.
Like, this job will expose your flaws really, really quickly.
Yes.
And you ain't going to be able to hide them. So if you come in thinking, you know, you got this, nothing wrong with being positive. Like, we're talking about, you know, being positive. I can do this. I'm going to struggle, but I'll break through. I'm going to get trained. I'll make it.
Right.
Versus, I got this because this ain't shit. You know, I can do anything, whatever.
Right.
You're going to get exposed.
Yeah. No. And that's, we've had trainees like that. I think we've all had trainees like that.
For sure.
I have one like that. We have three phases of training and I always do phase two, excuse me, which is 911 calls. First day is observation day. And this one trainee, first day I pulled her aside and I'm like, look, this phase is going to be incredibly difficult. You're going to hear things that you've never, ever heard before.
Right.
And it's going to impact you. It's going to be hard. You're probably going to leave here and want to cry, or you might cry. And that's okay because everybody does. I have no big deal. Mm-hmm. You know, not a big deal. She's like, I'm fine. And I'm like, okay, well, I'm telling you that so that when it does happen, because it's very likely to happen, don't feel as though you're failing because you're not. You know, just push through it. We can talk about it, you know, mm-hmm. we'll work through it. And she's like, no, I'm fine. I'm like, okay. A week later, can we talk in the office? I'm like, sure. Waterworks. And I'm like, oh.
Exactly.
I'm like, see? And I'm glad that it happened because she was comfortable enough to cry in front of me, you know, which is also a difficult thing to do, you know, in front of someone that you don't really know. Who's in charge of you.
Right.
You know?
In front of an authority figure. It's like,
So I always like to stress that because I know, because I cried. I had a really, really, really good day in training. I made like no mistakes. And then the next 2 days were just like garbage.
Yes.
You know, and then I had my weekly meeting with the training coordinator and she's like, how's everything going? I'm like, it's not going good.
You're like, I just had the worst 2 days of my life.
I had a really good day and everything else is horrible. Yeah.
It's tough. And yeah, you're gonna have shit days.
Oh yeah.
And
oh yeah.
If you and I,
oh, yeah.
I hope like if you have a good trainer, your trainer understands that as well. I'm the type of trainer that I tell you this right off the bat. Your first day, I'm like, you're going to feel fucking dumb.
Mm-hmm.
You're not. Like, you're not stupid. Please don't think that you're stupid. You're going to feel like an idiot. You're not an idiot. Number two, you're going to have off days, and I understand that, and I'll cut you a little bit of slack for that.
Right.
Because we all have shit days.
Yeah.
Where it's just like, as soon as you got up, you tripped and fell over and then you couldn't find your keys and then your car wouldn't start and you finally get to work and just, you know, it's like
you're already deflated
by the time
you
get to work. Right. So it's tough. And yeah, you're gonna, again, I've said this before, the weirdest things affect you that you don't think are going to affect you.
Right.
And it just, it depends on circumstances and how you are, you know, what your current emotional state is in general, but there's going to be tough calls. You're going to make mistakes. You have to be able to be okay with that, with making mistakes.
And training is the time to make those mistakes.
Make those mistakes.
I stress that too. I'm not going to let someone die on the phone with you.
Exactly.
You know, so do what you're going to do. If I have to interject, I will. If I don't interject, that's a good thing.
Keep working through a solution.
Right.
You'll because, get there. Because, yeah, we've had that conversation with trainees too, where it's like, we all make mistakes. And I know everyone says that. You learn that in kindergarten. Everyone makes mistakes.
Yeah.
But again, trainees come into this and they see their trainers doing everything flawlessly, right? Like, we're fucking killing it. We're amazing. No. Are you kidding me? I do dumb shit constantly. Daily.
Well, the person that's been there longer than your trainer is looking at him like, Jesus, you're a hot mess. But your trainee is like, man, you're amazing. Oh, my God. How did you staple those papers through the copy machine? Holy shit. Is there a special button for this? I don't know if I can do this job.
I'm not kidding. Like, when I was training, one of my coworkers, this was a few years ago, she, I don't remember what it was, but I think it was the whole, I asked a first party caller if he was awake, which was fucking stupid. I don't know why I said it.
Yeah.
I literally was like, are you awake? And he's like, yes. And I'm like, hold on, because I had to put him on hold for a second to be like, Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Right. But someone was telling my trainee this story and she died laughing. She was like, you're such a good dispatcher. Why would you do that? And I was like, because I'm dumb sometimes. Right. Like, I'm a good dispatcher, but I still make stupid mistakes.
Right. Well, you know what? I think that brings up a great point, and it's something that you definitely, you don't think about before coming into this. And sometimes, unfortunately, you learn the hard way in this job is complacency.
Yes.
You cannot get overconfident in your abilities where you become complacent, because in that case, it's part of your routine to ask if they're awake when it comes to being part of a rescue call. Right.
Right.
So it's a normal question, but you have to use some logic here going, oh, this is the person asking for help. I'm pretty sure they're awake.
Yeah, I don't have my
Ouija board out right now to communicate with them, so we're good. unless he's got like a recorded speaking spell thing.
Right, yeah.
Yes, I am
and
awake.
And it was so funny too, because the guy was so confident, like, yes, I'm awake, next question. And I was like, you don't even realize that I just said the dumbest thing ever.
And everybody else.
Keep going.
Yeah.
Cool, are you breathing? All right, we're good.
Like, that's right. I'm with you then.
Fantastic. I'm pretty sure. Me too.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure we're going to save you.
Problem solved.
This is good. Are you
Have
breathing?
Have a good day, sir.
Are you breathing?
Okay,
that's number two. I'm done with you. Get me somebody else.
Oh, my God. Yeah. what I tell my trainees about mistakes is you're going to make mistakes. And sometimes they affect the outcome of the call. Sometimes they don't.
For sure.
We're going to aim for ones that don't affect the outcome of the call.
Mm-hmm.
But when you do have a mistake that affects the outcome of the call, you're never going to make that mistake again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you need to learn from that. Because if you're not learning from that and you're moving on and continuing to make those same mistakes that are affecting patient outcomes or whatever, we have a problem.
Right. And you can't stop making excuses for why you did something.
Right.
Incorrectly.
Yes.
Accept
that you did it incorrectly,
that you did it wrong, and how you're going to fix it. Focus on that.
Right.
Because if you're so focused on the excuse as to why it happened, you're not learning.
Exactly. From
that. You're distracted by the excuse.
Yes. Right?
Yeah.
And it's tough. And I remember what it was like in training. It's an extremely difficult time. It's not fun. It's very stressful. You have anxiety. I had anxiety. I don't know.
Oh, every day. Just going in. Oh my God.
Like, I felt like I was going to vomit the whole day because it was just, I was so terrified. So I remember that feeling. And I remember that when I have a new trainee sitting in front of me, that's what they're going through. So I try to be aware of that. And when I do make those stupid mistakes, like asking a first party caller if he's awake, I like to point that out to them. Like, I'll show them. You want to listen to recordings of me doing dumb shit? Here you go. Because now you're going to feel better and understand that, like,
right.
I do it too. And I'm like, this isn't something I did when I was training. This is something that happened like a month ago because I'm a fucking idiot.
Oh, I just last week, I just said over the air because my button stuck that I said, B, I got to pee. And everybody amazing. In the county got to hear me announce over the radio that I had to go pee.
It was amazing.
I think I told, it was like the same day or the day after, I accidentally referred to one of my officers by his first name on the radio instead of his unit number. And as soon as it came out of my mouth, my partner's like, did you just call him Joe? And I was like, yeah, I don't know why I said that.
Yeah.
Like, he wasn't answering his status checks. And I'm like, Joe, what's your status? Why did I just call him that? That's not, I'm not supposed to say, no.
Oh, well, that's. Clearly, that technique was not effective.
He called me, and I was like, did you just hear me say your name? He's like, yeah, why did you do that? I'm like, I don't fucking know.
Because your name is Joe.
That's right.
Is your name not Joe? I called his lieutenant, and I'm like, did you hear that? And she started laughing. She's like, is that why you guys are cracking up on the radio right now? I'm like, yes. I was looking at his name on the screen while speaking at the same time, and my brain got confused, and I was,
for sure,
Joe, I have a call for you. Like, that's not. Right.
I was telling my trainee the other day, I was like 3 or 4 years in, and an off-duty deputy called in a reckless driver. So I'm getting the information, and he's like, I'll write the ticket, just I need someone to pull her over. And I'm like, okay, getting the information. I'm like, do you want to sign complaints?
Yes.
Oh, wait a minute.
Like, you literally
obviously. And I'm like, oh. He's like, yeah.
Routine, man.
I'm like, it'll get you
every time.
Force a habit.
Yes.
It'll get you every time. Well, and from a police standpoint, we have a little bit more leeway with, you know, obviously there's the same questions we're always going to ask about weapons and who's involved and descriptions and stuff. But when it comes to the rescue side, there's usually a process that's followed.
There's
questions and answers and script that you have to follow. So it's different. It's a different way of thinking. And I haven't done it. So I'm going to make a huge assumption here. It wouldn't be the first time I made an ass out of myself. But it's easier to get into a routine if you're asking those specific questions the same way on every call because
it is.
It's right there. I mean, whenever you don't forget.
So whenever they do it, you ask when you didn't need to. It's bad when you didn't ask when you should have.
You just feel stupid.
Whenever they do an update to our program and like they change some wording around, we all laugh at ourselves because for like a month we keep repeating the same incorrect wording.
Yeah.
Even though we're staring at it.
Yeah.
And it's like my brain knows that's not what that says, but my mouth just says it anyway because it's like, I already know how this goes. This is what you're supposed to say. And you're like, just kidding. That's not what I'm supposed to say.
JKLOL.
This is one thing. If you weren't good with change before, you're really not going to be good with change as a dispatcher.
Yes.
Because you can pretty much guarantee shit's going to break and shit's going to change.
Yep.
You're going to hate it every time. And, because you get so into your routine and everything else is unsure that when the sure things get changed, it's a disruption.
I want to say in the past 3 years or 4 years, every single piece of equipment that we use has been replaced by a newer piece of technology. And it's taken us like 6 months to figure out how each of them works. And we're just like, I hate this. I hate this system. I hate this radio. I hate this phone. I hate this CAD, whatever.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, what were we using before? I don't even know. Like,
But you still hate the new one.
Did we even have computers before a year ago? Right. Like, I don't even remember.
We were talking about that yesterday too. Because we got a new CAD, a new phone, and new radios. Like, all within the same, like, 6 months.
Right.
And we're like, I hate my life right now.
But and then after a few months, it becomes normal again. And you learn how to use it. But
I remember when I was in training, I had just been released, like, a month. and we went to a new CAD, and I'm like, I don't even know what I'm doing yet. And now we're now.
Oh, I had to really train someone while we were transitioning into a new CAD, and I'm like, how the fuck am I training this person on both the old CAD and the new CAD? And I'm just like, have fun, good luck. Like, I don't even know what we're doing. Right. So
give them hopefully you figure the sign out. Of the cross and right. be like, oh,
welcome to the shit show.
That's yeah. right. right, and she was there. I think she had just left training. I had, like, just been released from training on our launch day.
Yeah.
Which, like, launch day, everyone's there. The company that built the CAD was there to, like, mitigate any issues. Mm-hmm. And it was, like,
let's pile we some felt more like
we were
stress.
Launching missiles that day because there was so much shit going on. Yeah. And I'm like,
there's some dude with a white shirt and a black tie and black rimmed glasses standing over like, in the corner with the
men in black are there. It was very... Yep. Yes. I felt so bad for my trainee because I'm defenders. Like, I'm sorry. No one else has to ever do this. Yeah. Train on two different CADs in
guess
3 months.
Guess you're lucky. Is she still dispatching?
Yes.
Oh, boom. Good. Boom.
So.
See?
Yeah. But
it worked out just fine.
So, and I mean, I had a trainee that trained while COVID happened, which I know it's been going on for a long time, but she trained for like a month before COVID, and then her last 2 months were during COVID. So, and, you know, to her and the girl who trained during the CAD transition, I was like, listen, if you can survive this, you'll be fine.
Yeah.
Because this is a weird scenario for us. This never happens. This isn't normal for us. So if you can get through this and still keep your wits about you, you'll
probably
do great.
The golden.
Yeah.
Probably exactly. The biggest amount of changes, you know, you can change software. You can change your underwear. You know, but you can, I don't know why that was in my
random
head.
Random musings but, by Norm.
That's right. Hello, everyone. Good day. You can change CAD software, you can change radios, and you can learn that because it's a technical aspect, right?
Right.
But when you start talking about things like COVID, it changes the way everything is done. You're not going to as many calls. You're having to ask new sets of questions. You don't, like, you're having to field new types of calls.
Right.
You know,
right.
It's a whole new, it's like learning a lot of new shit. And guess what? In 2 weeks, it's going to change again because it got more stringent or less stringent, or we learned something new and now it's got to change. So this
and
past
everyone's calling
year,
you, asking you what the new stuff is. You're
right.
Like, I don't know. I just woke up and came to work. Yeah. I didn't even know it
wash
changed.
Wash your hands. That's all I know. That's wash
correct.
Your hands.
That's right. And you know what? When COVID's done, keep washing your hands.
Don't lick
please
things.
Please don't ever stop ass. Washing your hands.
Yeah, correct. The
wash your hands until they fall off. Okay.
That's no. Yeah. Right. I think that is a huge one as far as change goes. You know, it's probably been the most challenging in trying to remember it all. And it's all important. There's not one thing that's not important. It's all important.
Right.
You know, the fact that she got to do some training ahead of time and then, you know, finish up the last couple months in there probably made all the difference in her to make her go, okay.
It did.
You're right. You make it through this, no change is really going to fucking matter to you.
Right.
Because this is the biggest amount of constant change that I think all of us have ever had to experience.
Yeah, and we were all experiencing it together. And I mean, you
that's
guys,
the other thing, yeah.
You guys had coworkers that came down with COVID. We had coworkers that came down with COVID. So then, you know, again, mitigating all of that was, we're all just kind of going with the flow.
Yeah.
So
and it's inescapable. You can't even go to work and escape it because it's there with you.
For sure.
Sorry, hold on.
Oh, that's nice. Oh, Jamaica,
I was trying to get
man.
It to stop making noise.
Oh, yeah.
It was very tropical.
It was.
Now I'm angry looking at the snow.
Hey, first responders. Remember to come back on February 18th for the second half of What You Should Know Before You Apply, the Humanizing the Headset podcast bonus episode this month. And thanks for listening.